When I was a little boy, I used to hear my parents talking in the front seat of the car. And I don't know if anybody else had a conversation similar to this or not, but sometimes my mom would look over at the dashboard and she would say, "It looks like we're riding on empty." And my dad would usually say something like this, "There's always a few more miles you can get when it's on empty." Anybody else have something like that? I've heard we're riding on fumes. I always thought that was an interesting concept because I thought once you were empty, it was gone, it was out. You weren't riding anywhere else. When it hits the E and now we've got buttons and lights and all kind of things that light up and tells you that you're out of gas. So I got thinking about this idea of riding on empty. And I thought about it more after I started driving. Because, being a man, I know one thing about empty. You can go a few more miles unless you don't. And it's those times when you don't that get very interesting. You know, I've been empty. I remember when I was in college, I had gone to class and I came out to the parking lot and my car wouldn't start and I did everything I knew to do and I finally called the mechanic and the mechanic said, after looking at it for a few minutes and charging me, "You're out of gas." And that felt fairly embarrassing to me because here my tank was empty. I didn't even know about it. And I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about this more from being spiritually empty. Because it's my observation that a lot of those who claim to be in Christ are riding on empty. And if I reflect back upon those few times that I've been on the road and my wife looks over and she sees the dashboard and she says, "It looks like we're empty. It looks like the car's out of gas. It looks like we're riding on empty again." Then I look at that and I begin to calculate in my mind, where's the next gas station? How far do I have to go? Can we make it so many miles? And I'm doing all these minute calculations in my mind. Folks, you can't depend on riding on empty to get to heaven. In fact, if you look at the passage in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 14, the New King James translation reads this way, talking about the resurrection. "If Christ is not risen, our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty." So when we're looking at this concept today, we want to talk about what it is to have an empty faith, because it happens. It happens to those who aren't quite out of gas, but they are so close that they become ineffective because we are worried about running out of gas. We're worried about not filling up the gas. We don't do those things proactively that get us to where we need to be, that we can take the extra miles that come our way. And so I thought it'd be interesting to look at a few people in the Bible, godly people who found themselves running on an empty tank spiritually, whose faith was severely being tested and tried. And I think that many of us fall into that category. In the psalm, the psalmist said in Psalm 73 and verse 2 and 3, "But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My feet had nearly slipped. For I was envious of the boastful, and when I saw the prosperity of the wicked," I almost didn't have enough to go. I was almost empty. I was almost out of faith. Because I looked around and I saw the wicked were doing better than the righteous. I looked around and I saw people who didn't believe in God. Looks like they were doing better than I was. And I almost slipped, I almost fell, I almost didn't make it. And I wonder if you've ever been there in your faith. Because there are times that I've been close. There have been times, and if I be honest with myself when I look at that, it's because the spiritual tank is running on fumes. Because we're trying to depend on having a few more miles once we reach empty. Folks, that's no way to drive and it's no way to live. We can't depend on that because the possibility is not only that we almost slip, that we do slip, and that we fall, and that we fail, and that we leave God. When I think of people who persevere and people of strong faith, I think of the story of Job in the Old Testament, and Job certainly had a lot of calamity. You'll remember it was Job that Satan came and sought to test because God said there's none like him on all of the earth. Up front, the description of Job was one of being strong and powerful. And Satan makes these arguments. The only reason that Job praises you is because you've blessed him so much. Because his tank is full, but if it were empty, it'd be a different story. You see, if you let me take everything away from him, he'll curse you. He won't be your servant anymore. God and Satan had this discussion, and God believed in Job, and Job was put through trials and tests, and time after time, he holds on, but it's hard to hold on. It's hard to hold on even when you have a strong faith sometimes. Look with me at Job chapter 3. The testing has started. Job has lost everything. He's lost his cattle, his servants, even lost his children. And you remember the story how the servants would come one after another. I only am left. I'm all that's gone. I'm the only one that made it out. And so it comes from the richest man in all the East to one of the poorest. The Bible says in Job chapter 3 verse 1, after this, Job opened his mouth and he cursed the day of his birth. And Job spoke and said, may the day perish on which I was born. The night in which it was said, I'm a male child is conceived. May the day be darkened, and may God above not seek it, nor light shine upon it. He said, I wish I had never been born. He's almost suicidal when he's running on fumes, if you will. But he doesn't give up. The difference is because of the strength of his faith. Well, he continues this discourse. He continues going through his pain. But the difference is, and I found this out years ago. I didn't know that these big pickup trucks, a lot of times, they'll have a reserve tank. And the reserve tank is full. And all you have to do is flip that switch, and all of a sudden, instead of empty, you're full again. I think there are times it's easier to be a Christian than others. I think there are times that we stand up to the trials, and there are other times when we feel like we've lost everything. Job said in verse 16, why was I not hidden like a stillborn child, like infants who never saw the light? Why was I ever born, he says. Yet in all this, Job sinned not. And so I want to look at one more passage. That's in verse 25. He said, for the thing I greatly feared has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me. I'm not at ease. I'm not quiet. I have no rest, for trouble comes. I think most people get there in their life from time to time. But in all of this, while he doesn't understand it, he knows who he has believed. He's just like Paul when he said, I know whom I have believed, and I've entrusted it against that day. But folks, if we don't have something in the tank, we don't have that reserve to go on and to let our faith work for us. If we have an empty faith or a low faith or a minuscule amount of spirituality in our life, it's not enough to finish the course, to make it to heaven. Because bad things are going to happen. There are going to be trials that come our way, and all that live godly are going to suffer persecution, and it's not always just the direct persecution. It's just sometimes doing right in a world that's controlled by Satan is not always appreciated, and it gets hard. You can't run on empty. You can't afford to do that. I know one fella who tells me every time his tank gets to halfway, he goes and fills up. Maybe more than one. I think it really is a good idea for those of us who are Christians that say every Sunday, I'm going to come into the house of God and I'm going to take the Lord's Supper and I'm going to do this in remembrance of Him. And I'm going to sing praise to His holy name and I'm going to come before His throne and pray, because that's filling my tank up. Because I have to have the spiritual fuel that gets me through. Jeremiah was the weeping prophet of old. God's people were in total rebellion. It was a hard time to be a prophet. The people made fun of him. They rejected him. They laughed at him. They threatened him. They threw him into a well. They tried to kill him. They did everything they could. And Jeremiah was about ready to give up. And if he didn't have a little faith in the tank, he would have given up. Listen to his lament in Jeremiah chapter 20, starting verse 14. Sounds a lot like Job. Cursed be the day in which I was born. Let that day not be blessed in which my mother bore me. Let the man be cursed who brought news to my father, saying, a male child has been born to you, making him, that is the father, very glad. Verse 17, because he did not kill me from the womb, that my mother might have been my grave, and her womb always enlarged with me. Why did I come forth from the womb to see labor and sorrow, that my days should be consumed with shame? That's a bad day. That's probably every bit of clinical depression, don't you think? I wish I was never born. I wish I was stillborn. I wish nobody had ever told my father that I was born. I wish not to be here is what Jeremiah said. But listen, there's a background story to that. Go back to verse 7. Jeremiah speaks to the Lord and he says, "You induced me and I was persuaded. You are stronger than I and have prevailed. God, because you challenged me, you gave me, you endued me with power, you prevailed, and I'm going to do your will because you filled me up." Anemic Christianity will not get you to heaven. And it's the ups and downs of life that have to have a tank that's not running on empty. Here's what he goes on to say, "I'm in derision daily and everyone mocks me." It's hard down here, Jeremiah says. "For when I spoke, I cried out, I shouted violence and plunder because the word of the Lord was made known to me, a reproach and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor will I speak any more in his name." That's it. I've had my fill. I'm out. But, read the next sentence. "His word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary of holding it back, and I could not." His word was in my bones. That's that reserve tank. That's not an empty fuel can. That's not an empty car. He said, "I wish I could, but I can't because the word of the Lord is that powerful in me. Because my faith is so strong. Because I can't give up. Because God's will must be done." He said in verse 10, "I hear many mocking fear on every side report, they say, and we will report it. All my acquaintances watch for my stumbling, saying, perhaps he will be induced, and then we will prevail against him and take our revenge on him." Jeremiah says, "They're out to get me." And they were. They didn't want to hear any more about God. But Jeremiah said, "His word in my heart was like a burning fire, and I couldn't hold it back." He goes on to talk about vengeance and then the passage that we read. And he said, "If it's just on the human part, why am I here?" Godly people who struggle with the problems of life. We could go back and we could look at all the people who've had that problem. We talked about Wednesday night. We talked about Joseph and how he could have given up and said, "Everybody hates me. They sold me. They gave me away. I've been put in prison." But it didn't. In fact, in the end, he said, "What you meant for evil, God meant for good." And so I wonder what's in your spiritual fuel tank. You see, it matters what you put in. Years ago, not being very much of a mechanic when I first started driving, I had a 1959 Cadillac. I bought it for $150. It wouldn't run in every gear, so I picked out the low gear that it would run in. Had to park on the street because reverse didn't always work. It was a great car. One day, the power steering wasn't working real good, and so I thought, "I can handle this." Now, when I bought what I thought was power steering fluid, turned out to be brake fluid. Now, I got that backwards. The brakes weren't working. I put power steering fluid in the brake fluid. That doesn't work, people. It matters what you put where in the car. In fact, it locked the brakes up, and I almost caught on fire. It matters what you put in your life. If you're going to fill it with what Satan wants in it, it will not get you to heaven. In fact, I don't know that you wouldn't be better off with an empty tank than to fill it up with what this world has to offer. And so I want to suggest some things that I think the Bible says that we need to fill up with. And the first thing is we need to be full of praise. It's hard to lose faith when you're praising God. It's hard to give up when you know He who's in you is greater than he who's in the world. The psalmist said in Psalm 35, "And my tongue shall speak of your righteousness and of your praise all the day long." I'm going to praise you all the day long. In Psalm 71 and verse 15, "My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all day, for I do not know their limits." I don't even know how to stop praising you. And then in Psalm 148, look at the first few verses there. I think some of you will recognize it as having made it into the hymn books. "Praise the Lord from heaven. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all you angels. Praise Him, all ye hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you stars of light. Praise Him, you heaven of heavens and you waters above the heavens." All of God's creation, including human beings, ought to praise Him. I want to ask you, when it comes to praise, are you full or are you empty? When it gets to what goes on outside of this assembly, when you're in the world, is there enough evidence convict us of our faith or not? Do we sing forth His praises not only in song but in word and everything that we do? You see, we've got to be filled with praise, and the more we praise Him, the more we feel His presence. But I believe the Bible also teaches us that we must fill up our lives with righteousness. I don't know why people want to overlook that, but God expects His people to be good people and to do right things. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 6, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." In John chapter 6 and verse 27, He goes on to say, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of God," or the Son of Man, "will give you, because God the Father has set His seal upon Him." What do you fill your life up with? Is it acts of righteousness, kindness, and goodness? Or acts of rebellion and rejection? It makes a difference what we put in the tank. It makes a difference what fuels our life and our faith. The psalmist said in Psalm 63 and verse 1, "O God, You are my God. Early will I seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh longs for You in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water." I am desiring You more than anything I can even think of. I could be parched, and what I want is to be in the presence of God, just like I would want that one drop of water. I want to live right. I want to be right. I want to be with You. And that's the kind of desire we have to live with Him, to be with Him, to be like Him. I think obedience is something else we need to fill up on. Not just righteousness, but following through. Doing what He says to do. It's so easy to put on the Christian faith and the nice Sunday clothes and to come and sit in the assembly, but that's not Christianity. It involves so much more. Jesus said in John 15 and verse 10, "If you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." The word "abide" is not that difficult. You'll live in that. It'll be what you exist in every day. There's a song I don't think we've sung at camp in years. It was, "Oh, fill my cup, let it overflow with love." And I think that we're running on empty too often. And that's why people are falling by the side, because their faith has not been strengthened. They've not been filled with praise, with righteousness, and obedience. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3, John says, "Now that by this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He who says, 'I know Him,' and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. He who says he abides in him ought him also to walk as he walked." Let's live as he lived, people. To obey. In the Old Testament, King Saul was told to obey is better than to sacrifice. And I'd like to just update it a little bit and say to obey is better than to put on a show of religion. Because that won't take you to heaven. It won't get you through the door. If your faith is no more than the suit of clothes you put on, then it's empty. I have to love him. I have to obey him. And in fact, my obedience is a demonstration of my love towards Him. So that brings us to the question of the hour. Have you filled your tank? Or are you running on empty? Are you hoping to get just a few more miles after the gauge has hit the empty mark, the E on the dashboard? Are you hoping that there's something there that you haven't put in the tank that's going to take you a little further? Folks, what is in your life? And have you filled up lately? Are you the person that fills up or goes till you ride the last drop out of your car? I guess another way to ask that is, have you ever come to Jesus? Because He alone is able to fill our lives. Satan leaves a hole, and Jesus fills us with His love and His forgiveness and His compassion. You need to understand that there is only one way to heaven. I say that unapologetically because it's simply what Scripture says. Jesus in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 3 says to enter in by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in thereby, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Everybody's not going to make it. And if you have a faith that gives out, if your life is running on empty, you're going to hear those words, "Depart from me, ye cursed that work iniquity, for I never knew you." If we're running with just a sham, just a little glimmer of Christianity, it's not enough. I must be completely immersed in His love. Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life.
And no one comes to the Father but by me. And so the question is, have you filled your tank up when it comes to Jesus? Or do you just need a little bit of Jesus to get through the day? Because a little bit's not enough. Have you been born again? Jesus said when he talked to Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and starting in verse 5 and following on down. He's talking about how a man needs to be born again. Nicodemus doesn't understand it. He asks those questions. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb? And Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Do not marvel when I say to you, you must be born again. It's not an option. You must. You see, it matters what you put into your life. And it matters what you choose to do with it. And so the question is, have you been born again? Have you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? Have you had your sins washed away? Have you been raised to walk in newness of life? You see, because once we become a Christian, we haven't ended the game. We've only begun the race. We haven't completed the course. We're just beginning the course. That's when we enter into the kingdom to do His work. John said in 1 John 1 and verse 7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, that's a continually walking or living with God. We have fellowship one with another and with the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, which cleanses us from all sin. If we continue walking with God in the fellowship of His saints, there is a continual not only washing but filling of the tank. But it takes living the right life. It takes doing the right thing. It takes being the right person. And the question is, what have you put in your life? As a little boy, I thought it was funny to hear my parents talk about whether the gas tank was empty or not. After I experienced it as a driver a couple of times, it didn't become funny anymore. And I remember driving down the road several times in the middle of nowhere and just noticing somewhere I let the gauge go down to empty. Look at your own life. Don't let it be empty. Don't let it be perfunctory going through the motions of Christianity. Let your life be filled with His grace, with His love and with His power, that you may accomplish what He's given you to do on this earth. And if you haven't become a Christian, if you haven't started filling your tank, do so. Today is the perfect time to begin. And the question is, are you running on empty? Are you full? Because I promise you, Christ is the only thing that can fill you forever. Water that you'll never need to drink again, food that you'll never have to replace. If you are running on empty, I'm telling you, the banquet's prepared, all things are ready. Today you can start a new life in Christ, or you can be restored into service for Him, or you can have prayer requests, whatever your need is. If we can help you, won't you please come while we stand and while we sing.